Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
But first up, we're looking at the topic that's on the minds of many Dubliners, just how unsafe has our capital become? From antisocial behaviour on public transport to violent attacks on our streets, it feels like crime is spiralling out of control. Many of these incidents involve repeat offenders and many are committing crimes while out on bail. So we have to ask, has Dublin gone beyond repair? And more importantly, what can be done to fix it? Should we see more policing on our streets? Is it time for armed police units in certain areas? Should we take a zero tolerance approach to crime with stricter sentencing and mandatory prison time for knife possession? And what about increasing prison capacity to ensure those who commit crimes actually serve time rather than being released back onto the streets? We want to hear from you. Do you feel safe in Dublin? And what solutions do you think that we can put in place that would make a real difference? Let us know your thoughts on WhatsApp 087 188 0008 or get involved on social media on Facebook at Ireland's Classic Hits and on X at Classic Hits Radio. I've got Linda on the line. Hi Linda, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. How do you feel? Do you feel safe in Dublin?
Do you know what? No, I actually don't. And I think I know the issue with it.
And what's that?
I would probably say it's the Northsiders.
Right, okay. That's grand. Thanks for that, Linda. I'm going to just go to Joanna now. Hi, Joanna, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Do you feel safe in Dublin?
I have to say, I always loved, O'Connell Street and all that. But no, I don't feel safe anymore.
Did you used to?
And it's
Do you feel that it's
say,
changed?
And absolutely. And I don't know whether it's because some of the big shops have passed, gone, whatever. I don't know. I just think people have no respect anymore. And our capital, I just think people really disrespect it. It's full of junkies. Mm-hmm. I know I shouldn't really say that, but I'm just telling you what I see with my own eyes.
I do hear that from a lot of people. A lot of people have commented on the visible drug use on the streets in Dublin City Centre.
Yeah, in O'Connell Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a shame because you've got the GPO there, you had the Cleary clock and everything. It's all beautiful, but it's just like, everybody, pardon my pun, but everybody, it's just like some people just shitting it. If you know what I mean. I know I shouldn't say it that way, but it's the only way I can say it because that's the way I think. It's like, which is such a horrible shame. Yeah, I really think nobody has any respect for their own city anymore. I mean, I used to love going up and down Moore Street, for example, and I wouldn't even dream of going up down now.
So are you from Dublin, Joanna?
I am indeed, yeah.
And these are places that you would have gone before and you wouldn't have thought twice about going there.
Oh my God, when I had my first baby, I used to take her in the buggy, go up and down Moore Street and buy me little vegetables, whatever. Yeah, absolutely. I'm from Dublin, born and bred, and I'm proud of my city. But at the same time, I can see what's happening to its destruction, and it's terrible.
And then, what sort of time frame? Like, how long ago do you think that it started to change? Because I was living away for quite some time. I was out of the country for sort of about 10 years, and coming back, I came back once or twice and visited the city centre, and I was actually shocked. There was just a complete change of atmosphere, and it just felt. I'm not saying that Dublin was ever spotless. I mean, it never was. It was always a bit rough around the edges.
Dublin's never been clean.
No, but I mean, now I found it really manky. And I was just a bit shocked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with you. Now, my husband's from Belfast. And I swear to God, their streets are spotless. And I said to a taxi man when he was leading me back to the train station, I said, I can't believe how clean Belfast is. He said, well, that didn't happen many years ago, he said, because people used to put bombs in the bins. So, and I was like, oh my God, that's mad.
Yeah.
You know, but I kind of understood what he was saying. But at the same time, in Dublin here, I just think people are, I'm not saying everybody, I'm a Dubliner. And I'm proud to be a Dubliner, of course I am. But I think some people are just dirty pigs.
So there was an article today, and they were talking about how dirty Dublin is, and someone came out and said that it seems like just people do have a lack of respect for their environment. Like someone who's going
exactly
to
exactly what it is.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. You've no respect for your city. I absolutely agree with that. No respect. And I mean, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand, because Dublin is a beautiful city. Do you know? Yeah. I don't get it.
Let me go to Dave. Stay with me there, Joanna. I'm going to go to Dave. I'm going to get his opinion on
problem.
It. Hiya, Dave. How you doing? You okay?
Hello. What's the crack?
Not much. So, do you feel safe in Dublin?
Jesus, no. No. I'm not at night time anyway, I wouldn't. The place has gone. It's gone downhill over the last. Like, I'm originally from Dublin, but my family moved down the country about 24 years ago now.
And do you notice a difference between Dublin and where you are?
I wouldn't live anywhere else. Country life is where it's at. To be honest, if you give me a house in Dublin, I'd sell it.
Anyone feels safe in Dublin.
Yeah, consensus seems to be that, you know, people don't feel safe.
So the thing is, like, I've very few reasons to go to Dublin. I might go to Dublin maybe once or twice a year, if even for maybe a gig or Comic-Con or whatever. But I've noticed down through the years, and even times we did go back up, it's like...
Are you washing the dishes, Dave?
Like sorry?
Are you washing the dishes?
No, that's not me. I think that's true. That's
me. I'm saying washing the dishes. Sorry.
I'm just going to put you on mute there just because it's really loud. 2 seconds, Joanna. Thanks. Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead. Sorry, I thought you were washing the dishes there.
No. I'm making lunches. But it's like you can see the degradation in the city down through the years. Like, when I was younger, junkies would have, you know, the wherewithal to go down an alleyway or something and shoot up. Now it is open, broad daylight, selling drugs, doing drugs. Like, if you walk around Dublin, you see some fabulous street art on the sides of buildings and stuff like that. And I think stuff like that kind of adds, you know, to kind of into the spirit or, you know, the cultural identity of a city. But as well as that, there's also a hell of a lot of graffiti and dirt and grime.
Yeah.
You know, on top of it. Like, there's a serious lack of cars. Like, we went up a couple of years ago. We parked up in Phoenix Park. We walked into town up around Capel Street, up there, kind of up to the ILAC Centre, past the old Ambassador, down across the Connell Bridge, back down past Hinckley Bridge, blah, 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 blah. And do you know all those beautiful old Georgian houses?
Yeah.
We were walking past some of them. Like, if you got off the train at Houston Station and you were walking into town, you'd literally be walking on this side of the road. My young guy tapped me on the arm and goes, Dad, what are they doing over there? So I looked across the road, and just openly, brazenly, at the top of the steps, there was people smoking crack, and at the bottom of it, they were selling it. I was like, congratulations, son, you just saw your first crack hit.
Oh, my God.
Like,
it's happening everywhere. Yeah, it is. All over the city is what I mean.
And any tourist who might be getting the train to Dublin and walk around are walking straight past that. And we only saw two guards that day. And we did a fine loop of the city now. The only time we saw guards was two guards standing in front of Collins Barracks because there was an event on. That was it.
Mm-hmm. And that
That's only because there was an event on. I have friends who live above, and they said, it was like after the lockdowns, it's like the scumbags took over the streets. Like, do you know what it is? It's like, if you go to any city anywhere in the world, you kind of get a feel for the city, kind of. You know, it's got its own personality, its own vibe.
Dublin is like
a city that just, it's like it's lost its soul. It's like they don't know what it is. Because you look at some of the new buildings they put up, and they're not in keeping with that beautiful old architecture they used to have. I mean, you got a city with a heroin problem, and you built a giant hyperbaric needle in the middle of the main street.
The spire.
It's like a beggar's belief. Like I was at a gig years ago. We stayed in the Gresham Hotel. Now, when I was younger, people like us wouldn't even step foot inside the Gresham Hotel. And when we went back after the gig, I noticed the Connell Street at night time, it was nothing but just smackheads, chippers, and phone shops. The Savoy Cinema is gone. Any of the nice shops that were there are gone. The Ambassador has been boarded up for how many years now? Do you know, it's like the powers that be just don't seem to care anymore.
Yeah.
And it's a crying shame. I mean, Dublin's like nearly like a 1,200-year-old, you know, like people settled there 1,200 years ago. And this is what it's become. And it's like, it's a capital city of, you know, one of the richest nations on earth. And yet it just seems like nobody really cares about it.
Yeah, and I think that definitely with you saying there that the Savoy is boarded up and the Ambassador is boarded up. I came back to go out on a night out in Dublin City Centre a couple of years ago now. And any of the places that I used to go to, I was like looking them up to see if they were still open. Everywhere was permanently closed and there was nothing in their place. Everywhere, there's a lot of places closed down. So the fact that the whole nightlife kind of thing has gone south completely. There's no nightlife whatsoever. Hey. Now, as it turns to nighttime, it's just this seedy kind of a cesspit, and there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. Why would you be out in town at nighttime, other than to do, I don't know?
But that's it.
The bad things.
Yeah. And another thing as well is like immediately start on trying to go out. It's like trying to go out in Dublin. You nearly need to take out a credit union loan just for a night out. It's that expensive. Do you know?
Yeah, that is another point as well. So,
right.
So everything that we're saying is just there's no nightlife. There's no reason to want to go out in town. The cost of everything. There's nowhere to go anymore. The whole vibe has completely changed, and it's just there's no personality in the city anymore. I think is what you're trying to say, Dave.
Yeah, it's got no soul. Like a brother of mine, once upon a time, he used to live in the bedsit up there past the Garden of Remembrance. And I remember, like, we went to see a movie, went for a walk around the city, and then walked up along O'Connell Street to where he lived. Didn't think twice about it. I wouldn't do that nowadays, from what I've seen from being there before. Even I'm going to a gig, I'm bringing my uncle to his first gig up there next month, and I'm thinking to myself, we might just taxi or Uber from the Tree Arena back to where we're staying. Because I genuinely would feel a bit weary about walking the streets of Dublin at night time with him.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people share that sentiment. I'm just going to go back to Joanna before we go back.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, go ahead, Joanna. I'm just coming back to you there. Have you stopped washing the dishes? Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Good woman.
Sorry about that.
No, don't be silly.
No, the most famous person I ever met was actually David Bowie.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't even know it was David Bowie. I was working as a lounge girl, a barmaid, if you like, in Slattery in Dublin.
Yeah.
He gave me a rose. And I was just like, you can give me all the roses you want. So I said, you still have to wait your turn. I never realised it was David Bowie. And he kind of looked at me and said, that's all right, darling, or something. He said to me, I was like, who does he think he is? I didn't even know who he was. You know, my God, yeah. I mean, oh my God, like, and he's brilliant, like, isn't he? You know, but a rose. I think that was his thing, wasn't it? Now that I know, am I listening to myself?
Nice, Joanna. So anyway, going back to the topic there. So Dave was saying that he thinks that the whole of the city has just lost its vibe. It's lost its whole, you know, there's nothing really going for it anymore. All the buildings are not in keeping with the old style. The graffiti, there's dirt, there's grime.
No.
You know, it's literally what you were saying. Just the whole entire vibe has changed. There's no light life. So
it's absolutely, I mean, I wouldn't be bothered now to go out. I mean, if me and hubby want to go out, we know where we're going to go, and that's it. And I wouldn't be bothered going into town anymore.
It's a really sad time because
I'd be frightened. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd be frightened to go into town because you have some scum heads looking at you, and you don't even have to look at them in the wrong way. They just shoot you a dig.
Really is such a shame, because it used to be just the best city to go out in. I used to go away to different cities and always couldn't wait to come home to go out again, you know. Thank you so much for that, Joanna. Thank you, Dave. I'm going to just pop to the ads and we'll be back if you want to get in touch about this. It's 087-188-0008. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, filling in for Niall Boylan. We're talking about, do you feel safe in Dublin city centre? I'm going to go to Billy now. Billy, hi, how you doing?
Hi, AJ. No, AJ, listen, I'm a great topic. You could cover this for hours and hours. I'm well able to look at myself strong enough, you know, but I kind of defend myself from. And they're not nice, AJ. I just want to call out for what it is. They're not bloody nice now at the moment. Most of the people are carrying them around. And I'm not like, I know you need to get a balanced argument, but most of them, they're not nice. They're summarily swords. I think the people going around think they're in the kebab shop. And they're cutting off, you know, the big huge thing, the kebab that rolls around, you know, you see it in the kebabs and they're cutting it. These things are huge, like, and you had the incident there in Parnell Street there about a year ago. The girl was, I don't know, they kept that pretty quiet. And then, of course, the incident in Stony Bar. It was a South American. That's what the guards are
so
going
to. So we can't talk about particular cases now. We're going to have to just keep it a bit broader.
You had the incident in Stony Bar. And then you had the one in, what do you call it, Grattan Street, right? And, we have our own Irish, what's it called? We have our own Irish fucking, sorry, pardon me, criminals and stuff like that. But, like, these are not nice. These are summarily swords, like. And, why have people been letting in the country without any checks, like? Checks, you know, like, they should be fingerprinted in the, you have illegal immigrants and you have immigrants. I have no problem with bringing in immigrants all day long. But why are there so many people coming in illegally? We don't know who they are, but this is only the tip of the iceberg. It's going to get worse, and as I said the other day, there's going to be, and I said to my wife, and I keep saying it to anyone that will listen to me at all, there's going to be a massive terrorist attack one day. I don't know what date. Obviously, I don't know, but it's going to be sometimes in all different cities in Europe, possibly the same time in America and Canada and Australia. Obviously, there'll be different time zones. But it'll be a certain date, and they're just going to hit us hard because a lot of them don't like our way of life. And they said it. They've said it times and times. We'll get over there. We'll do this and we'll do that. And the majority of people are good. Like, they're coming from different countries or whatever. But all it takes is one or two. And they're here among us now at the moment in Ireland, in different cities in Europe. And there's been no checks on them. It's ludicrous. What country would let somebody in without any checks? It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, I hear you, Billy. I'm just going to go to Alan. Alan, hi, how are you? You say Dublin has gone to the dogs.
Yeah, I've lived in Dublin since I was a child. I moved out. I'm back. I'm in Kildare now. And I go into Dublin once every few weeks in the daytime to see my sister over in Ring's End. And I find Dublin has become so dilapidated and lost. It's horrible. It's not a nice place to live in now, and I wouldn't want to live in Dublin again. I don't feel safe in the areas. I've seen lots of addictions, alcoholism. It's just horrible.
Yeah, and I mean, what we were just saying before the break as well is just there's graffiti, there's dirt, there's grime, and people just don't feel safe.
Graffiti doesn't affect your personality, it affects your eyesight. It's a very ugly scenery to see the landscape littered with graffiti, all other kinds of rubbish. It's not a very attractive place to go. If you're coming from a foreign country, I wouldn't want to stay in Dublin. It's a rip-off place as well. It's all high prices and low standards. It's not a nice place. It's lost its soul.
Yeah, and I think as well, Dave was saying when he was in town with his son, they saw somebody openly doing drugs on the street with his young son.
Oh, well, that wouldn't surprise me. That goes on every day in Dublin.
Yeah.
And but that goes on all the time, AJ.
Yeah.
That's from our own Irish people, right? drug and this and this. They rob shops for a living and stuff like that to feed their habit. But I don't know whether I'm getting off a different subject, but why are we letting people in without checks, proper checks? I just ask you that. Like, you're not obviously a politician, AJ, but why are we letting people coming in without proper checks? And most of these, like I said, I know you can't discuss certain cases, but I just mentioned a few there. But, and every time we have an incident, it seems to be whatever, you know, yeah, you know exactly where I'm coming from. But these people were fingerprinted. I was watching a program before I came on to here at the moment, Heathrow, right? And four coppers, British police, met a plane coming in from a certain country. There was a fella, he had checked in Dubai or something on the way home to Heathrow. And his fingerprint, his passport came up as wanted. You know what I'm saying? So wanted. So we should do the same here. When they, but of course they don't do the passport. Mm-hmm. But when they arrive in Ireland, they should be fingerprinted, and then we should know everything about them. And it's crazy. Like, how would you let people in here where you're at and you don't know about them? This is ludicrous. Do you not agree with me?
I think a lot. I think it's the opinion that a lot of people have, Billy. A lot of people are saying the same thing, and there definitely needs to be.
Who would let anybody into their own country, AJ, without a proper? It's ludicrous. Why do I have a passport? Why the hell do I have a passport, AJ? Why do I show my passport when I'm going to England or whatever? Why do I show? I shouldn't have to show. I should tell the fella behind the counter, "Fuck off, shut up your ass. I'm not showing you my passport." Why? Because everyone that comes into Ireland is not showing you it, is it? You know what I mean?
Just stay there with me, Billy. I'm just going to go to Barry next. Barry, hi, how you doing?
Hey, Jay, how are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. So what do you think? Are you from Dublin or do you spend time in the city? How do you feel about being there? Do you feel safe?
Well, no, I'm down the country, but I've been following what's going on in Dublin, right? Like, and this didn't happen overnight. Like, you know, this has been going on for the last few years, you know, and like, I'm going back to the top table, like to the government and to the councils and stuff, and they seem to be doing nothing about it, you know. Helen McEntee was Minister of Justice there for the last 4 years, like, and it got worse and worse under her watch, you know. The Gardaí, 98% of the Gardaí voted no confidence in their own boss, you know, and she kind of ignored them, which I think, you know, has led to the Gardaí not really giving a shit, if that's the only way to put it. You see what's going on there every day. Like, the guys are talking there about the drug taking on the streets and stuff. This is the capital of Ireland. Like, this shouldn't be going on, you know. And there seems to be, we're talking about it now, like, but it's all it is talk, and there's nothing been done about it. You know, you go over to the likes of Piccadilly Gardens there in Manchester, and there's all day long, there's at least 10 to 15 police officers around that area all day long. You know, and they're watching everything. They're making their arrests, whatever needs to be done. None of that goes on in this country. None of that goes on in this country. And until something is actually done about it, nothing's going to happen. You know, Jim O'Callaghan came on there last week talking about putting, police and the transport police?
Yeah.
And giving them powers of arrest and stuff.
Powers of arrest, yeah.
How long is that going to take to get that done, like?
Yeah.
You know, that was last week, you know, like, that should be done straight away. You know, it's something now that's not going to stop. Unless the top table start doing things about it. Mary Lou brought it up again at the Dáil today about knife crime and stuff, and Micheál Martin kind of just, you know, well, you know, all talk, no answers, you know. So, I don't know, unless now, you know, Jim O'Callaghan has a big, big job to do, and I think it needs to start there, and the justice needs to be done properly. And if that's not done, it's going to get way worse. And Dave said it a while ago, just in relation to what Dave said, no one wants to go to Dublin anymore. No one wants to go. If I go away for a few nights, I go to Galway, I might go to Killarney, I won't go to Dublin. And as Dave said too, you need to take a credit union on now to go to Dublin.
Oh, you like, wouldn't? You'd need a loan, all right, you would. You'd need to remortgage the house.
Temple Bar is getting out of control, like, and that's a lot of people aren't going to go up to Dublin for things like that. But now, with this thing, you know, but like that man said, he's afraid to walk down O'Connell Street. Like, that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. He should be able to walk down that street, no problem. You know, without getting taxis here and there. Like, this, I don't know. There's a lot of work to be done, but there seems to be just all talk and no action. So, I don't know, is it?
Yeah, no, I hear you, Barry. I mean, do you think that it's going to make a difference now with Jim O'Callaghan in the position? Do you think that, or are you still sceptical that there's going to be any changes?
I'm very, very sceptical, if I'm honest about it, you know.
I think everybody is, to be fair, yeah.
You know, like, he has a big, big job to do. He should have gone in there all guns blazing when he was when he got the minister job there a few weeks ago. And all I've heard him so far is say that he's trying to get the power of arrest for transport police. And again, that was last week. So again, that was just, as far as I can see, that was just all talk. There's been nothing said about it since. There was another incident in the capital, I think only last night. Was there on a Finglas or something like that? Do you know, it's just, I don't know. I think that a lot of the Gardaí, they're trying to hire new Gardaí at the moment. That itself will be a big job, you know. Trying to hire people, because I don't know who want to be a guard now in Dublin. I really don't, do you know.
Do you think that if transport police had powers of arrest, that it would make a difference? Because there is quite a lot of antisocial behaviour taking place on public transport in the city.
It would, but to what extent with transport police, having one fella on the lowest, or one fella on every second bus, if they're going to do it properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no point having one fella on one Lewis line, and, you know, and then getting off and going on the other one. This has to be done properly, and it has to be done across the board all the time, or else it's just not going to work. But, yeah, there's something major, major needs to happen, and unless these guys pull the finger out, it's not going to change. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse, you know.
Barry, stay with me there. I'm just going to go back to Billy. Billy, have you been listening to what Barry was saying? He did put
forward some suggestions
for what would perhaps make a difference.
He's right. He's 100% right.
He's talking sense, yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything he said at all, no.
Yeah, yeah. Let me go to Josh. I've got Josh waiting on the line there. Hiya, Josh. How you doing?
What's up?
Hello?
Hello?
Hiya, Josh. How are you? You okay?
I'm good, yeah.
What do you think? You're saying Dublin hasn't been safe in the last 2 years.
No, I'm saying it is safe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm saying Dublin is safe. And I don't understand, getting a lot of cookies on as well to talk about the state of Dublin, you know what I mean? What's his name? Yeah, man.
I've got Billy and Barry on the line there. I mean, we're not going to call people names. That's just childish, but yeah.
Okay, no, I don't understand what they're saying. I think Dublin's very safe at the moment.
Okay, so why do you think it's safe? Tell me how it's safe and how everybody else that's been on is wrong.
Well, I just think that you go anywhere nowadays. You could go to America, you could go to any of the rest of the counties, and there's going to be trouble everywhere. But I don't think it's any different than it ever has been. You know what I mean?
Do you think it was always like this? Do you think it was always quite as dirty? Do you think there was always such an active, visible drug problem in the city centre? Do you think it was always as, you know, there was as much graffiti as there was? Do you think that there was as many people carrying knives in the city centre?
Now, I think that's a city point. I think graffiti is a bit of a city point now to be bringing up a couple of squiggles on the wall. Who's that doing?
Well, it just adds to the overall look of the city when, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, murals or dedicated areas to graffiti. I'm just talking about haphazard, just, you know, literally scribbles, like you say, that's not art. That's not people trying to express themselves. It's just writing on the wall, and it's just making the place look messy as well as everything else that's going on.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it, I don't think there is a lot of it. I think that there is, there's a lot of, down with the docks and all, down on Ring's End, there's a huge wall just for graffiti artists and all.
That's great, Josh. I'm not talking about that, like I said. That's great. If people are able to express themselves and do art and there's dedicated areas, that's absolutely fine. We're talking about the mess of everywhere else. And don't just focus in on graffiti. Tell me why you do think it's safe. Do you think it's safe for people who are getting, mugged, all the antisocial behaviour on public transport that people are experiencing reporting? Did that always happen?
Well, it is always happening. You can look back in the years and it's always happening. It's just and just getting a bit highlighted now, but it's always been there. And if you go to any other county or you go to any other country, it's going to be there. Trouble's always going to be there. There's no place on planet Earth that's perfect. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely not. But you don't think that the problem has gotten worse. So do you think maybe that it's because it's being reported more, we're seeing more on social media? Do you think that that's what's clouding our judgment here?
I think so. I think people are just blowing it up, they're just making a mountain out of a molehill, you know what I mean? And just someone jumping on the bandwagon and trying to make it worse and make it seem worse than it actually is. Like,
so did you hear? Did you hear our caller Dave, who was on, and he was saying that he had brought his son into Dublin City Centre,
no.
and he was with his young son, and they saw somebody was standing on the steps of a really nice old Georgian building in Dublin City Centre, and the guy that was standing on the steps was smoking crack. So Dave's young son has now seen somebody smoking crack openly on the street in Dublin. And you just say, oh, well, that
right,
just happens
and
everywhere. Right,
and sure that this person was smoking crack.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was sure. I've seen people openly doing drugs on the street in Dublin City Centre. And we're just going to say, oh, well, that happens everywhere, so it's fine.
Like, well, it does happen everywhere, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's not that it's not, like, it's obviously not a good thing to happen, but it's not as if it doesn't happen everywhere. I don't think we should... Dublin seems to get the crack of the whip all the time in Ireland, you know what I mean? It seems to be the one. It was Limerick a couple of years ago, and now it seems to be Dublin for whatever reason.
Hang on there, Josh. I'm just going to go back to Barry just to see. Barry, have you been listening to what Josh was saying there? He thinks that it's been blown out of proportion and it's just the same as it always was.
Yeah, he's actually right in some of a lot of things he said there. It's not just Dublin, because I'm kind of everywhere, yeah. He sounds to me like a man that could look after himself too, if I'm honest. He sounds like a man that doesn't have much fear, which isn't a bad thing, you know. But it's I don't. You see, you look at RT, right? You look at the RT website every day or whatever, and 9 times out of 10, something's ever happening in Dublin. This is where all the bad publicity is coming from. Do you know? Like, you woke up this morning, someone was charged with stabbing someone at the weekend. You know, all these kind of things. Like, Dublin seems to be getting the bad press all the time. But you have to look at it. This is where all the bad things happen. Do you know? It's not just, they're not making it up. And you go back to what you about the first caller, Dave. Like, walking down the street with his young lads and looking at a fella smoking crack, like that's not good, like, you know?
No, it's awful, Barry. It is awful. And Josh, I agree with some of what Josh is saying, but I just think that we can't just say, oh, look, it can happen everywhere. We're being too hard on Dublin. It's grand. Because it's not grand, clearly. You know, it's like we do need to do something about it. Changes do need to be made. And yeah, perhaps we do see a lot more of it now because of social media and stuff like that. And yes, maybe Dublin is being scapegoated in some respects. But I do definitely think that there is a problem there. We need to fix it, even if it has been going on for a very long time.
Oh yeah, 100%. And as you said, social media, like, that played a massive impact now on everything, you know. Everything that goes on now is more or less recorded, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, as I go back to what I said at the start, like, this, the only way this is going to change, it has to come from the top table, and they need to start getting their ass in gear now straight away, or else it's going to get, in my opinion, it's going to get an awful lot worse.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Knife crime is getting out of control. Knife crime is getting out of control. And this needs to be a lot of stop and searches, you know. And all this kind of thing needs to start happening, or else we're in big trouble, I think.
Barry and Josh, stay with me there. I'm just going to go to the ads. If you do want to get in touch on this, it's 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan. I've still got Josh on the line and I'm just going to go to John. John, hi, how are you?
All good, AJ. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. So what do you think? Do you feel safe in Dublin?
I live in Dublin. I live right through the Oil Alexander and it's a kip. And mm-hmm. I've been living here all my life. Now I'm 40. So, yeah, it's an absolute kip. And I think Josh, I don't know where he's from, but he ain't from town.
John, has it always been a kip, or has it...
No. We used to have a great community around here in the old flats and the new apartments there beside the Oilac and all that. But walk down Moore Street and it's a disaster. You have to cross the road each time, walking down with my daughter, and crossing the roads, all the leering men, if you know what I'm saying, the gypsies, if I could say that. But the whole place, and it's not primarily the Irish people. It's the new doctors that came into the country. You know what I mean? The engineers.
So John is saying that Dublin is a kip, and he lives near the ILAC Centre, and he's lived there for all his life.
Yeah, first of all, So I'm not from town now because I think it's a safe place. And he's from the ILAC Centre, so he thinks he's deadly. Like, what? And now he's blaming other people. He's not even putting the blame on Irish people. So,
no, like, I didn't say that.
No, well, you did. What did you just say? Gypsies or something? Are you blaming? Is that what you said? You're blaming it on them?
No, I said that primarily them. I just said
primarily them. So you're just being stupid and uneducated and just being thick and just saying it's unsafe because you want them out of the country. Ireland is safe. Dublin's safe. Like, and you're just talking about the OILAC centre. I think the OILAC centre are not safe. Like. There's four different entrances to the OILAC Centre as well, and they're all like different social classes within them. So which side of the OILAC Centre are you even talking about? Like,
no, they are wrong again. There's four different entrances.
Ah, good man, John. Well done.
You're welcome.
What other groups of people that do you think it's their fault? And if you think Dublin's not safe, then what you pin on other people and not ourselves.
No, come here. There's a load of Irish scumbags around there. Nobody's denying that. Nobody's denying that at all whatsoever, Josh. But what I'm saying to you is, the last 4 or 5 years is primarily whoever's coming into the country. Everything was going tickety-boo. Obviously, you had your own scumbag drug dealer or whatever coming up and down the street. But you only have to come here. I only live across the road from where the incident across in Parnell Square West, right? But there you go. Like, the two incidents the last 2 weekends, obviously I can't talk about it because it's in court. But yeah, so I don't know where you're from, Josh, but you want to come into town for it's safe.
Yeah, all right, good one, John. Right, but if you think that this this stuff is shouldn't be going on, and it's obviously, like, without a shadow of a doubt, it's wrong what's going on, the killings, and it's terrible and sad, it's awful, but this does happen. You know what I mean? This is life. People, there is horrible people out there, but you can't say Dublin's in a crisis or Dublin's in a shithole because we've had a couple of deaths in the past year or so. But like,
it's not only in the past year, Josh.
Shut up, John. Shut up. Right,
no, don't
down,
tell
right?
someone to shut up now, Josh. Josh, just hold on
right,
a second.
All right. Well, excuse me, John. Pipe down.
Now,
look across the waters and all. This happens a lot more than over here. You can't just start saying now it's not safe because we aren't looking like the Scandinavian countries where we have just complete safety and everyone's going around like it's a small world, smiling and holding hands. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, this stuff does happen, and we know it's terrible, but like, you can't start blaming the whole of Dublin. Dublin's massive. You're talking about the OILAC Centre. It's the only place you've mentioned.
No, I'm talking about Dublin. I'm talking about Limerick. I'm talking about Cork. It's happening everywhere. And yeah, right about across the water, that's where they're coming from. And not only the foreign, I'm not talking about foreign people. I'm talking about the Irish people as well. There is people, scumbags around.
Guys, just both stay with me there. I'm just going to go to Ciarán because he's just been waiting for quite a while. Hiya, Ciarán. How you doing?
How's it going? Are you well?
Yeah,
thanks,
not too bad. So what do you think?
That fella Josh is clueless. He clearly doesn't be in the city much. He doesn't see what really goes on. He's obviously a nice little area, like Mount Merry and somewhere out there. And
Mount Merry and me, oh, where are you from?
Oh, there's the accent now. It's coming now. Yeah, he's deadly, boys.
Ciarán, tell me about your experience in the city centre then.
I'm in the city centre every day.
Okay, and what's your experience
from
that?
It's unbelievable. It's an absolute kip. It's an absolute shithole.
Give me some examples, Ciarán.
All the way around the city. OILAC Centre everywhere. The whole place, Blessing Street, the whole lot. It's a dirty kip. It's just unbelievable.
Give us some examples, Ciarán. Tell us.
Well, there's every kind of people selling drugs, not just Irish junkie people or drug addicts or anything like that. Everyone's selling drugs in there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So the dirt of the place around. There's nothing but shite and rubbish everywhere. You know, like Dublin Corporation doing their best to click try and clear things up.
This conversation, but what, just echoing on what other people have after saying, like, you know what I mean? They're saying,
well,
oh, there's a little bit dirty around here, and there's a little bit of drugs in here. Like, I said, that's everywhere. Like, cop on, will you? Like, stop echoing and have your own voice and say whatever you want to. Like,
but he's talking about his experience, Josh. You're just coming on to be rude to everybody.
I'm talking about my experience. Can you shut up for a minute there, please, and let me talk? Stop cutting across me.
Go ahead, Kieran.
Right, yeah? Thanks. Yeah, it doesn't feel like a safe place in there. It doesn't feel safe even walking around. And you see, like, young ones walking around on their own, and you're thinking, are you mad? Like, it's unbelievable.
And we were saying earlier on that, you know, there's no nightlife now in Dublin. So it's like, once it gets dark, once it's nighttime, it's like, you don't want to be around there, because why would you be in town? Because there's nowhere to go, you know. And I think that losing the nightlife has been a massive contributing factor to just losing the vibe of the city. You know, because I would have no reason to go into the city centre at nighttime, like no reason whatsoever. Obviously, I would work at nighttime, but you know what I mean. Just let me go to Andrew there. Andrew, hi, how are you?
Hi, how's it going, AJ?
Yeah, not too bad. Can you tell me a bit about your experience? What do you think?
So, I mean, obviously, you know, it's quite a highly charged issue, but, you know, I'm kind of on both sides. So having, you know, I've grown up in Dublin all my life, and manifestly, the majority of the city is a lot better than it was in the 90s, and that was a lot better than it was in the 80s, you know, when we were in the grip of the kind of heroin epidemic, you know. So I think street crime on the whole is down. There isn't an area of Dublin I would feel, you know, kind of outright unsafe walking through. I've lived, you know, in a lot of different places. I lived in Manchester for many years, kind of working as a doctor there as well, you know. So I've seen, you know, and, you know, what a city with a lot of crime is like. I think the problem with Dublin and where it's kind of beginning to slide is that, you know, really since the pandemic, the city centre, you know, has really slipped from the control of law and order. So kind of, you know, just from my childhood, places like Dorset Street that, you know, used to be very dodgy have now got very, you know, quite nice or quite safe. But O'Connell Street has really gone downhill. You know, this uptick in knife crime and just kind of the general lawlessness in the city centre, I think, is more down to the fact that we're not adequately policing things like antisocial behaviour. I think it's creating a kind of safe environment for these, you know, yuppro types who have kind of taken over the city centre. And while I know kind of, you know, one of your earlier callers was rejecting, you know, things like, you know, graffiti, that kind of thing, I think the general kind of squalor of the city centre, and particularly O'Connell Street, has just created an environment where these antisocial types, you know, aren't really touched by law and order. They don't really, you know, feel the kind of heat from it. And that's then leading to stuff, you know, that's then leading to these outbreaks of crime. And, you know, a small part of it is, you know, certain people who are coming in, that is an element of it, but the majority of our problem is homegrown. And I think until we effectively police, you know, this kind of antisocial behaviour, I think we're going to slip more and more, you know, to being like a big city in the UK, which is way worse, let me tell you.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Andrew, for sure.
Two cents on it.
And I've lived in the UK as well, and I do understand what you're saying in certain cities in the UK. It's like, whoa, it's completely different for us. Like, we don't actually know what it's like, you know, it's completely different. But just interesting what you're saying is that you think that everything has sort of been concentrated in the very city centre. So the likes of like O'Connell Street and stuff like that, whereas years ago it was streets like you said, like, did you say Dorset Street and stuff like that, used to be kind of rough, and now they're actually, you know, kind of nicer because everything is now very much more central. But why, like, what can we do to combat that? Do you think that it's like, you know, tighter, more policing, tighter laws around sort of possession of knives, that kind of thing? Is that what we really need to do here?
So the knife thing, you know, you can't really effectively police, you know, things like purchase of knives. You know, where I think the problem is coming in is that, you know, the people who are committing this knife crime, you know, it is the youth who are emboldened to walk around in ballys harassing people, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas years ago, when we lived in kind of a less, you know, regulated society, when there weren't cameras everywhere, you know, police could have, were empowered to be a bit rougher with these characters, and that kind of nipped that problem in the bud. Whereas nowadays, you know, a kid was kicked out of a shop in the city centre for thieving, and this happens quite commonly, and the parents then sued the shop for defamation. You know, so the balance of power at the moment between the law, you know, is definitely in the favour of these antisocial characters. And, you know, that kind of lawlessness, you know, emboldens these characters. And that's why they feel confident bringing out knives. And I mean, you know, they're idiots. If you've
but
got
if
a knife,
you,
you know,
if you
they're
knew
not
that
quite...
there was like a minimum sentence for possession of something like a knife, would it? Do you think that it would act as a deterrent in the first place? So if there was, that was it, there was a minimum 2 years.
Not really.
You don't think that would work? Kieran, no. What do you think? Do you think that bringing in things like that would act as a deterrent?
I think it would have some effect, yeah.
Yeah.
It would have an impact in some ways. Yeah, it can't do any harm. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I just do think what that...
Kieran.
Sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
What I'd say to that, Kieran, is that, you know, kind of the deterrent effect, you know, the kinds of people, the characters you're going to meet on O'Connell Street, the kind of people who are committing these crimes, number one, they don't think that far ahead into the future. They don't think an hour into the future, let alone the prospect of a minimum sentence. Number two, you know, as a country, we are light enough on crime. I mean, you know, it's only in recent years that the average prison time served for murder has reached 18 years. It used to be a lot lower. You know, we have a very dysfunctional justice system at the moment whereby it's taking these people years to get into court. They're not being held on remand. So, you know, I'd certainly welcome, you know, minimum tariffs for crimes like that. On a ground level, I don't think, you know, it's going to stop these yuppros. I don't think they're going to be leaving their gaff and saying, oh, you know, better put this away, that'll be 2 years. You know, I think it has to be a more upstream intervention, and that comes with, you know, empowering the Gardaí to nip this kind of stuff in the bud. And, you know, kind of, they called it the broken windows policy. You know, it's a policing theory that, you know, stuff like, you know, going hard on minor crime stops these characters graduating into more serious things. But, you know, I'd be in favour of minimum tariffs, but I don't think realistically it's going to act as a deterrent.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not.
Yeah, but see, the guards can't do a whole lot. The guards can't actually do a whole lot.
I agree.
Maybe they don't want to do it. Well, like, to be honest with you, for the wages they're on, I wouldn't put my life at risk for it either.
And I mean, but it's not even their life. It's about having GSOC up their backsides, you know, for 4 years. You know, I mean, Gardaí are getting charged, you know, just for doing their job. So, you know, I absolutely have sympathy, you know, for the Gardaí. You know, I think their hands are tied. And I think a part of this solution is actually, you know, taking the gloves off a bit and empowering them to do their job without fear of, you know, being stuck in some kind of disciplinary process. You know, having
true, but they're very understaffed as well. You see, that's the thing.
Who'd want to be a guard?
Very understaffed.
You know,
pardon?
Who'd want to be a guard these days? Terrible money. You know, they're not paid enough. Too much red tape. You know, any one of these couriers can accuse them of something, and you know, it's a years long disciplinary process, even if they're completely cleared. So, you know, they have my absolute sympathy.
Well, I definitely think that there's not enough. We're completely under-resourced when it comes to guards and guards on the street. And any other city that you go to in the whole of Europe, there's an active presence on the street, and there's armed police on the street as well. Do you think that that's something that we need to have, especially in certain areas of the city centre? I'll put that kind of to all of you because we've only got a couple of minutes left. So, Kieran, what do you think? Maybe armed guards in certain areas of the city?
Well, I think the Garda presence would help.
100%, yeah.
You don't see that many guards around the city much. You might see five or six of them walking up Dawson Street, and then you won't see any more for the night, basically. You know?
I feel like when I used to be out when I was younger in the city centre, you would see guards everywhere. You don't, you always felt like there was a presence, like. And I just think that maybe if we could just go back to that.
Yeah, you'd always see them coming out of a nightclub, they'd be always outside and that.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, if you're in the city centre, out. Half 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, there'll be always guards, a couple of them sitting in a car, or a couple of cars around.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore.
No, you don't. Like, you definitely
don't. I haven't seen a checkpoint in probably a year.
Yeah.
You know, in around the city or out the outskirts of the city or anywhere. You just don't see them anymore.
Josh, do you don't think that we do have a problem? So you obviously don't think that there's anything that needs doing?
Well, I mean, there'd be no harm like having extra guards around. Like that'd be no bother at all. But I think if you're not going and looking for trouble in town, you're doing all right. Like you'd be fine. Because I don't violence wise. I'll ask the group here: has anyone had any first-hand experience of getting attacked in town?
Yeah, I did. I got a knife pulled on me one night. It wasn't by an Irish fella.
I'd say you were yapping at them though, because you were mad annoying.
Excuse me.
That's just a stupid thing to say. Thank you so much for that, Josh. And John. Sorry, I didn't come back to you there for ages.
Left
you
waiting.
John, yeah, do you... So,
no, I'm just listening.
Do you think we need to see more guards on the street?
Yeah, where we used to live, where just a dominant street, we used to have a community guard, and he used to just hang around all the time, and everybody used to get a cup of tea and all that, you know, that shit. So, and there was nothing happening. So, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that might just help, you know, and it might make people feel safer to come into Dublin City Centre. Thank you so much, John, Kieran, Andrew and everybody else that got involved on that one.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.